Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We're pretty much our Rosh Chodesh Elul at this point. So it's a very auspicious time. It's always a good time to learn, but it's a very important time to be learning. It's really the last month of the year. And the Ribbono Shel Olam in his great chesed says, you know, it's okay. If you didn't get it right till now, you still have a month to improve yourself. So it's very important that we really take our learning to heart very much. If everyone takes one nukuda from Shir, could you imagine that the godless of there'll be a schus for a collective schus for all of us? Everyone who listens to the shir takes one nakuda out of the whole time and manages to do one degree of avoda, so it would be a schus for us and also a schus for Ali and Hashama from Miriam Fran, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah, HaHashal, Meher and Hashama, a continuous Aliyah and the merit of our Torah learning. Amen. So we're on page 188. Okay, last time we had a very interesting shiur. I think it was very interesting. We spoke about a bunch of different topics, but we ended by talking about nega and oneg. Okay, we have to make sure we have nega in our Avodas Hashem and not oneg. And one of the things I spoke about, Joanna's not here. I feel like Joanna would remember. I believe we spoke last time about the fact that no one can self-motivate us if we don't motivate ourselves. Does anyone remember? I'm almost positive we spoke about that idea last time, because I'll tell you why I'm almost positive. Because right after Shir, I read something in this book about needing self-motivation, and I thought, oh, this is a perfect example of what we spoke about in Shir. So I'm 99% sure, because I folded the page last week. So this is an atypical source than what I would usually quote from. My husband had it on his bookshelf, and I said, let me see what this is. George W. Bush, yeah, I'm not joking, decision points. It happens to be very interesting. If anyone read it, listening to Shir, and thinks that's not sneish, how could she be reading that? I will tell you that so far, I'm not very far in. At night, I'm very tired, so I could read like two pages. I'm on page 30. That's how not far in I am. Oh, no, I'm not. Oh, yes, I am. So far, there's nothing wrong with this book. So if anyone knows, so if I get to a part that's not good, then I'll stop. In the meantime, everything's fine. But we did speak last time. I'm almost positive. Does anyone remember? I'm asked. Look who came in.
We're just talking about you.
No, we need you. No. Did we speak last time? I'm almost positive. I said if Joanna was here, she would remember. I believe we spoke last time about the fact that a person needs to be self-motivated in our Avodas Hashem. And if a person is not self-motivated, no one else can do it for them. Kol kavod to you. She's the youngest of all of us here. Kol kavod to you. Here we go. So, Mamish, this is how the book begins. It's called Decision Points, George W. Bush. It happens to be extremely interesting. Okay, quitting. That's the first one. Quitting. Okay, here we go. It was a simple question. Can you remember the last day you didn't have a drink? Laura asked in her calm, soothing voice. She wasn't threatening. She wasn't nagging. My wife is the kind of person who picks her moments. Of course I can, said my response. Then I thought back. I had a few beers on Monday. On Tuesday, I had my favorite after-dinner drink. I had a couple bourbons and sevens after I put the girls to bed on Wednesday. Thursday and Friday were beer drinking nights. Saturday, Laura and I went out with friends. I had martinis before dinner, beers with dinner, and B&B after dinner. Uh-oh, I had failed week one. I ran on racking my memory for a single dry day over the past few weeks. Then the past month, I could not remember one. Drinking had become a habit. For a while, I tried to rationalize, and I think that's what we do in our Avodas Hashem Lahavdil. I think we very much try to rationalize, and it's really mamash coming into, we're like a couple of days away from Elul, and I think part of the reason that we don't change is because we try and rationalize that what we're doing for whatever reason isn't so bad. It's interesting, because just on my way to Flatbush that I sent you the link, I went back a few months ago, and I listened, you listened? Right. To an interesting shir of Shai Shachter. It was a while ago, it's an older shir. Can you accept stolen funds for tzedakah? So first of all, it's a 40-minute shir. First part of the shir is very interesting. Halachic, why don't you make a bracha on giving tzedakah? It's very interesting. The second part of the shir is about stolen funds. So the bottom line is absolutely not. It's not a spoiler alert. I think we would all have thought that on our own, but it's from his halachic shir series. So it's a halachic shir, quotes many sources. It's very, very interesting. One of the things he says is that the Gemara says if you have a zona and she accepts funds or a gift for her services, such a thing happens, and now she wants to dedicate to the Beis HaMikdash. Can you do that? No. why not? Why can't you accept it? It's like she's exonerating herself. She feels like she cleanses herself by rationalizing, well, since I did doing a mitzvah, then it's okay. And I think that's not only about a zonah who accepts funds. I really think that that's a reality for all of us. He quotes from Moshe's tshuva towards the end of the shir. Moshe says, you know, you're sending these kids to school and we're teaching them about a Torah and MS and Lo Signo, Midvash Shachar Tirchak, but who's building the buildings? We're not saying Chas Shalom, everyone who builds a building is a ganav chalila v'chas, where I said it happens many times. Some people are honored at dinners, some people who we accept the money from and are lauded in societies, big bali tzedaka, maybe a defense come from stolen money, and are you allowed to do it? It's a total mitzvah hababa aveira, and it's absolutely dishonest, and you cannot do it. We're brought to mind what I read about Rav Soloveitchik. They went and came to the Rav, I don't remember which institution it was, and they asked Rav Soloveitchik, can we pay our employees off the books in a certain school, a Jewish school? Can we pay our employees off the books? Otherwise, we cannot afford to stay open, which is stealing from the government. And he said, close your school. Rav said, close the school. If you're being dishonest, you mamash have to close the school. So Rav Friday mentioned that in the shir, but I've read that before, brought down in one of Rav Soloveitchik's, Rav thinking on out Sfarim. So I think it's nobody here. We're not ganavim in such a sense that we're. Hopefully the Ribbono Shel Olam helps us, that we are not stealing. However, I do think that we try and rationalize our sins, and that is what gets us into trouble, and that's what prevents us from change. Okay, I didn't drink during the day, I didn't drink at work, I was in good shape, I jogged every afternoon, another habit. However, over time, I realized, and Laura's question provoked some questions of my own, did I spend time at home with the girls or stay out drinking? Would I rather go and read a book, or would I rather drink after my family went to sleep? Could I continue to grow closer to the Almighty, or is alcohol becoming my God? That's a line from the book. I think that's very interesting. If you remember, we said Rav Soloveitchik says there's no atheism in the Torah because people do not worship atheism. They either worship God or they worship themselves. So something can take the place of Chalil Ribbono Shel Olam. Last week's parsha, Usarta, Im Shemot Tushmo Mitzvoseh, Shonuchim Mitzavcheschem Hayam. What is it? Pen Yiftel Levavchem. What will happen? Your heart will turn. Usarta, Vadatem Aloi Mecherim. Okay. In 1986, Laura and I turned 40, so did their friends. They held a joint celebration. The official birthday was Saturday night. They had a big meal, accompanied by numerous $60 bottles of wine. Lots of toast, our health, to our kids, to the babysitters. It got louder and louder. The next morning, I woke with a hangover. As I left for my daily jog, I couldn't remember the night before. About halfway through the run, my head started to clear. My life came into focus. For months, I had been praying, so obviously a religious individual. I'd been praying that God would show me how to better reflect His will. I read scripture. The love of earthly pleasures could replace the love of God. That's very much in the Torah and Parashas in last week's parsha, Lahavdil, from the sources that he's learning from, but it happens to be very true. You're going to sit in Batim Tovos, Asher Tivne, in good houses, V'kesef Bezav, in Yirbiyun Lach, V'tzon Ubakar Yirbiyun, you'll have more flocks, and you'll have gold and silver, and you'll have nice houses, V'ram Levavecha, V'shachach, that's Hashem Melkecha, your heart will become haughty because of the Gashmis, and you will forget Hashem, your God. And he writes that here, the reality is that the love of earth, I know this is a very atypical source, but if there's a chachmanu mesa'olam, you should take it. The reality that the love of earthly pleasures could replace the love of God. My problem was not only drinking, it was selfishness. And that's also part of the root of sin. What's lashon hara? I'm selfish. I'm ego-focused. I'm eye-centric instead of focusing on somebody else. My drink was leading me to put myself ahead of others. When I got back to the hotel room, I told Laura I was done. And she says, that's good, George. I knew what she was thinking. I talked about it before. Nothing ever came of it. What she didn't know was that this time I changed on the inside, and that would enable me to change my behavior forever. It's really a very appropriate example. L'avdil of Avodas Hashem. But in his case, he's a religious person, and he understood that he was worshiping something else. Pen yiftel levavchem. And he understood that it was taking away from his family, it was taking away from his God, it was taking away from service of the Almighty in his life. And he understood that he was being selfish and that he was in denial. It took five days for the freshness of my decision to wear off. And that's something that we see also. We make an oath and we make a pact and it lasts for a short time. As my memory of the hangover faded, the temptation to drink became intense. I prayed for the strength to fight off my desire. It's very interesting. What does Hani say about Korach? He wasn't punished because he was Korach. He was punished because he didn't ask Hashem to help. I prayed for strength. He's a very religious person, to fight with my desire. I ran harder and longer. I ate a lot of chocolate. My body was screaming for sugar. This also gave me another motivation to keep running, keep off the pounds. In other words, the chocolate was instead of the wine. Laura was very supportive. She sensed I was going to quit. Whenever I brought up the subject, she urged me to stay with it. My friends helped me too. At first, it was hard to watch other people enjoy a cocktail or beer, but being the sober guy helped me realize how mindless I was when I drank. The more time passed, the more I felt the momentum on my side. Not drinking became a new habit, one I was glad to keep. And he writes that quitting was one of the toughest decisions he has ever had to make. It's not easy to change. We know that changing one midah is harder than learning shas. Tikkun hamidos. It's very, very difficult. But Pam says, why are they called midos? Because that's how you measure a person, modeid. You measure a person by their character change. However, without quitting, none of the other experiences in my life would have been possible. I thought it was very relevant. When I read it, I thought, wow, we just spoke about that. So, atypical source, but there's what to learn from it. Let us go to page 188, where we are up to. Last time we spoke about Oneg and Nega. Okay, page 188. The problem is that as long as a person has not attained Oneg, he tries to keep Ratzon without pleasure. But if we keep Ratzon without pleasure, then it's very hard to maintain our Avodas Hashem. You're going to run away from Hashem too quickly, Chas V'Shalom. This is the source of the difficulty. It's very hard to maintain a strong Ratzon when there's no pleasure. It's absolutely true. That's why they say about exercise, you should find something you enjoy, because if you enjoy it, you will stick with it, and if you don't enjoy it, you will not stick with it. You should try and find something that you enjoy doing. You should try and find healthy foods you like to eat, because if there's strong ratzon but no pleasure, you're going to be in trouble. As long as a person does not want something with all his might, he doesn't feel he lacks anything, and he will be lazy. But if he truly desires something, if he feels connected to it, if he delights in it, he'll be keenly aware of what he lacks and do anything necessary to attain it. And this was this in this example of George W. Bush. He desired to be sober. He finally felt connected. He delighted in the fact that he could have a better life. He was keenly aware of what he was lacking, and therefore he was willing to do everything necessary to attain it. So Lahavdil, real Lahavdil, in Kriya Shema, in Parakeet Aleph, and what we call the second paragraph of Shema. Okay, so the pasuk says, "Hishamru lachem." Is that the pasuk I'm going to tell you? No, it's not. V'haya, the first pasuk of what we call the second paragraph of Shema. Is this on? Yeah. V'haya im shemo tishmu al mitzvosai asher anochi mitzavcha eschem hayam. It will be if you will surely listen to the mitzvot that I'm commanding you today. Why the double lashon of shemo tishmu? If you listen, surely listen. So Rashi says, just quoting a few Rashi on these psukim, im shemo bayashon tishmu bechadash. If you listen to the old, you will listen to the new. What does that mean? You listen to the old, you listen to the new. What does that mean? I don't know what it means. So the footnote is very helpful. Quoting from Maseches Brachos and Maseches Sukkah, if you review that which you have studied, you will gain new insights, which I don't know why I never noticed that footnote before in my life, because I've learned this pasuk with Rashi many, many times. And I don't know if I never bothered to look at the footnote, but I think that's very relevant for us, because sometimes... What?
So now you reviewed it. You have the second...
So there you go. That's exactly right. So I think it's very relevant specifically to this class, because very often we review a topic that we've touched upon before, but you have to understand that that learning is really new learning. If you review that which you have studied, im shamo tishmu, im tishmu biyashan, tishmu bechadash, you will gain new insights. I think that's so relevant here. Monday night in Queen's class, the topic of Yerushalayim came up. So a woman who just came to class for the second time, she's never joined us before, said, you know the book, Bilvavi Mishkan Avneh, he talks about Yerushalayim and Yerushalayim. I said, we're working on that book for almost 5 years. We Baruch Hashem made it through that section. So, V'hayim Shema, but you should know, if you review something, you shouldn't think, oh, we did this already. No, because I'll tell you, the Torah is telling you, did it already, do it again. You're going to learn something new. That's right. So, Joanna, why did I never learn again? Perfect, because Hashem wanted me to teach me exactly this. Al mitzvos, ayesh anochi mitzava eschem hayam, to my mitzvos, which I command you today. What's hayam? Rashi says, sheyu aleichem chadashim kilu shematem bo bayam. They should be new every single day. La ahava as Hashem Elokechem. Ulaavda b'chol avavchem b'chol nafshchem. So let's skip for a minute. Ulaavda b'chol avavchem b'chol nafshchem. This is the famous Rashi quoting Maseches Tainis 2a, which you all know this. Ezehi avodah shehi b'lev haveyomer zohi tefila. What is service of the heart? You should say it is prayer. What is la'ahava as Hashem Elokechem? I'm specifically bringing this to you because the last sentence we read in the Sefer is you should truly desire something. You should feel connected to it. Do not be lazy. Delight in it. Relates to what we spoke about last time. Have oneg in your avodas Hashem. Be keenly aware of what you lack and do anything necessary to attain it. So what does Rashi says? La'ahava as Hashem Elokechem. Rashi says, Shelo somer, you should not say, Hare ani lomed bishvil she'ehaye ashir. I'm not learning so I should be rich. Bishvil, even though that's sort of an oxymoron, because today nobody in the Torah profession solely is generally rich, okay? Hare, unless we go back to the first point of Rav Shai Shechtoshir and Mitzvah Ba'avir, but in general, people who are not rich. Hare ani lo may bishvil she'ashir, so I will be rich. Bishvil she'akore rav, so they'll call me rabbi. Rav Nesson Tzvi Finkel, I happen to have the biography here, but the first time he was at a meeting of the Mo'etzes Gedolei Torah after he was appointed Rosh Hashiva of the Mir. So the Rabbanim said, what does Rosh Hashiva of the Mir say? It's funny because I just saw the story again tonight when I was preparing, and he almost fainted when he heard himself referred to as Rosh Hashiva. He couldn't handle the kavod. So you should not learn so I should become rich. You should not learn so you'll be called Rav, and you should not learn Bishvil Shakabel Schar. Don't worry so much about the next world either, right? So the Ashir and the Rav is Oneg in this world. Shakabel Schar is I will be received reward where? And the next word. That is not why we learn. Don't learn. Don't attend a shir, don't teach a shir for anything external that may come to you. We sit here in this chabur because we want to love Hashem. Whatever will happen in the end will happen then. But do not learn so you will become rich, so you will be called rabbi, so you will get schar. That's in Olam Haba. Rather, with no ulterior motive, with no hope for monetary reward, you should love Hashem. Not for rabbi, not for kavod, not for schar. Hashem Shemfalher says, by the way, just because I mentioned Schar being an Olam Haba, could I just bring up a tangent? Fascinating. Why are you smiling? Because I'm going to do it anyway.
There's we had a whole section where we talked about Schar, 2 weeks ago.
Say it again.
We talked about Schar 2 weeks ago, so I feel like we're
Schar, okay. So listen, because this is what, so now, because of what we had in this class when we talked about Onesh and Olam Haba, I'll tell you something unbelievable. I listened to Shir of Surreal Malitsky. I just recently discovered listening to Shir. From Highland Park, New Jersey, Erev Shabbos, or the Erev Shabbos before. It was on Birkas HaChodesh. Shabbos Mevarchim was fascinating. No, that was a different shir. I just listened to a shir yesterday about Besamim. Why do we smell Besamim on Motzei Shabbos? So one of the reasons of the 40-minute shir I knew, the rest was all very interesting and new for me. He quoted something so interesting. It relates to Hashir in the sense that we've spoken here about Gehenim, a lot about Gehenim, and understand that it's a real place. So the Schar is real in the next world, but that's not why you should love Hashem and learn. And the Onesh is also real in the next world. So he quoted Tosfos. So the Gemara says you should smell Besamim, but the Gemara does not say why. So he quoted a number of different reasons. Tosfos says, ready? Does anyone know this? Maybe you know this. Maybe it's just totally new for me. The fires of Gehenim burn all week. Anyone know what I'm going to say? Tell me if you know. And the neshamas that are there are burning all week. And when Shabbos comes, the fires stop. They get a break. Shabbat means to cease. That's the real meaning of Shabbat. So the fires of Gehenim cease. And Motzei Shabbos, the furnace goes up again, and they start burning again. And when bodies are burning, there's a smell. It's mamish what he said. I just listened to this show yesterday. And the besamim smells pleasant. And we smell the besamim to diminish the smell of the burning of Gehenim.
Okay.
I mean, he's mamish kohen tosfos. It's unbelievable. What did he say?
No, new to me also.
So I thought it was very interesting. Okay, because I mentioned schar. So Rav Shem Shemfal Hirsch says the ahava that mentioned in this pasuk, la ahava es Hashem elokeichem ula avdo b'chol avavchem. There were other more pleasant pun intended reasons. You have a neshama seira, you want to revive your neshama seira. It was a whole shir. Okay. The ahava and the avoda are to be accomplished. We should devote and, if need be, surrender to God. He says that's ahava, to surrender. He puts in brackets, surrender to God, brackets, parentheses, ahava. So you could say, what does it mean to love Hashem? It's a good question. What does it actually mean to love Hashem? I know what it means to love another person. We love friends. There are friends that I actually love. There are people that I love. There are my child's therapist. As my child's therapist, I mamish love her. I love her. My child is 13. We met her when he was an infant. I love that woman. You don't only love family. There are people that you love. Then there is family that you love. What does it mean to love in the case of God? Quotes as Rav Shamshon Frohirsch, to surrender. But how do you love Hashem? Surrender to God, all your thoughts and emotions, all your desires and achievements. That demonstrates Ahavas Hashem, this idea of surrender. I surrender to you, the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we should do God's will, avoda, with all our lev, all our nefesh. We have already pointed out, la'avdo has two separate meanings. To do his will with regard to something, and to do another's will by means of something. So to do his will in regard to this matter, in regard to tefillah, let's say, to do his will, but also by means of something, which would be the arba minim. So Shamshir Fowler says, to love God in this, in his pshat here, is to surrender all of our thoughts and all of our emotions, all of our desires and all of our achievements. That is to love the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if you do that, then you're truly desiring something. Then you feel connected to Hashem. Then you delight in surrender. You'll be keenly aware when you lack and do anything necessary to attain it. Any questions or comments? Okay, the intermediate stage of Ratzon without Oneg, middle page 188, or what can be described as unfulfilled desire, is called in the Sfarim HaKadoshim Kaf Hakela, the slingshot. Everyone who wants to serve Hashem must undergo the slingshot, which is the frustration and pain that you feel from an unfulfilled desire. I'm sure we could all relate to that in some way. I believe that everyone at this Shulchan has desires that they feel are unfulfilled. It's not possible that a person, Gemara says, a person dies without even fulfilling half of their desire. So this isn't only when everyone here, but everybody has desires that are unfulfilled in their life. I was just watching this evening, it's the Yurtzeit of the Tasha Rebbe, right? Yes? I'm asking you, is that correct? Yes? So Zatzal. So I was just watching Rav Eli Melech Biederman daily clip. So it was a 3-minute daily clip today. He told the story of the Tasha Rebbe. So the Tasha Rebbe used to give out tzedakah. He would sometimes have to hide the money from the gabayim because he himself didn't have, and he would just give everything away. He would hide in his shoe so people wouldn't see that he gave everything away. So one time he saw waiting in line to see him a very poor person. He was talking to someone, saw that the next person was very poor, and the person behind that was very wealthy, and he didn't have any money to give to the poor person, and he realized the poor person's going to come, and he has nothing to give him. So what do you think he did?
He switched the order.
You saw the video?
I think he told us.
No, I never saw this before. It wasn't me. Maybe someone else told it. I never saw this about the Tasha. This I never saw. So what did he do? He called in the rich person first. The rich person gave him an envelope. And when the rich person left, the poor guy comes in. What's he going to do? Give it to the poor guy. Except that when the poor man comes in, the poor man doesn't know. And what does he feel? Slighted. He starts screaming at the Tasha Rebbe. And he says to him, just because he's rich and I'm poor, you called him in before me, you're giving him more kavod because of his ashiras. I was waiting for you and you love rich people more than you love me. Tasha Rebbe didn't say anything. He just gives him an envelope. A gabbai understood what was going on. But the gabbai didn't say anything. If the Rebbe's not saying anything, he's not going to say anything. So the man leaves after berating the Tasha Rebbe. He takes the envelope, he doesn't know what's in it, and he leaves. He couldn't have been such a smart person if the Rebbe's giving him an envelope and he doesn't realize, but that's not the point of the story. So when he leaves, the Gabbai says to the Rebbe, Rebbe, why didn't the Rebbe explain what happened? So Tasha Rebbe says, leave him. You know, we're all like this. I definitely never told this over. I never saw this before. Unless I'm going crazy. I never heard this before. So the Rebbe said to the Gabbai, we're all like this. We come to Hashem with all our tainas, and we're screaming, and all of our complaints, and you let him go before me in this matter, and he goes before me in that matter, and this one goes before me in Shaduchim, and that one goes before me in Parnasa, and this one jumped the line, and this one has more Ashiras, and this one has more children, this one has more covenant, and you skipped over me, God. The Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, you fool, I'm preparing your envelope. I'm preparing your package. I'm preparing the reward to give to you. The Tasha Rebbe said, leave him. The PS of the story Rav Biederman told over is that the poor man that evening was traveling somewhere, and he happened to be in the same travel compartment with the rich man, and the poor man was so poor he couldn't even read. So he says to the rich man, he opens the envelope, he doesn't understand what the check is, so he gives it to the rich man, he says, could you read this for me? And the rich man looks at the check and he says, that's my check. So he goes back to the Tosha Rabbi and he says, you could do whatever you want with the money I give you, but you didn't even open the envelope to see how much I gave you? The Rabbi said, because it wasn't for me. That money was for him. Rav Elimelech Biederman said, we're like this poor man. We come with so many tainas. We also have unfulfilled desires. And I don't understand why God calls someone in before he calls me in. You skipped over me. What about me? Rav Shalom says, you think I didn't prepare? I'm adding on to this. I think it's a very apropos message for all. You think last Rosh Hashanah, I didn't prepare your envelope? I'm talking to Michal Horowitz, by the way, right now. I'm mamish talking to myself. The Baal Shalom says, you think I'm not giving you exactly what you need? You think I called someone ahead of you in this matter? You think I called someone ahead of you in that matter? I'm preparing exactly what you need. This is just the way that sometimes it happens. And we don't understand life. Well, that one skipped ahead of me. I think they're getting more covered. It's my preparation. I don't mean covered. I mean we think they're getting a better pekala than I'm getting. It's unbelievable. I never saw it before. It's mamish unbelievable. Very powerful. One will either experience it in this world. That was Rav Biederman's Today Daily Clip. Where am I up to? Oh, parentheses. The frustration and pain one feels from an unfulfilled desire. Third paragraph on page 188. One will either experience it in this world, where it is possible to use it to build real ratzon and to consciously direct it to spiritual owner, which is eternal and lasting. What's eternal? What's lasting? Closest to Hashem. Kirvas Elokim L'Tov. Or Chas V'Sham will be imposed upon him in the next world. And we just spoke about this, by the way. So it is relevant that I just brought up what I heard Rabbi Malitsky say, one of the reasons why we smell Besamim, where he will chase after physical desires that can never be satisfied. You know, Mesil Sesharim, I don't have the Sefer Ami, trying to learn through it. So sometimes I only learn a page a week. I don't have so much time. I spoke to my brother recently. I said, it's hard. I'm trying to learn through Maseil Sesharim. I borrow Asher Weiss on Amuna and Bitachon. In my dreams, I would like to learn through Navi. In my dreams, I'm trying to still get through the whole of Salvechik, Blessing and Thanksgiving. There was one more thing on the list. So I said, sometimes that's a real frustration for me. It's very hard for me. So he said, Michal, for a man, they're going to have to answer for Bittul Torah. He said, you have a lot of other responsibilities. You want to learn from those things. He said, it makes me a better person. He said, but we have to know what we can have time for. We have to be realistic as women. We have other tafkidim. But one thing Mr. Sharm says, where he will... See, I just read the parentheses, that in the next world, we will chase after physical desires that can never be satisfied. So Vasilis Sharm says, on my edition, it's Feldheim, it's page Chav Gimel, I know what page it is, even though I don't have it on me. So one of the things the Ramchal writes, I was at his cave in Eretz Yisrael, one of the things the Ramchal writes there, a person says, I don't care what my portion will be in the next row. Who cares? I just want to enjoy this row. I want to fulfill all my desires here. Oh, it's going to take away from the next row. I just want to get into the auditorium. I don't care how good my seat is. So Ramchal writes, that same person in this world couldn't handle when his friend had a better portion than him. It bothers us. He's not talking to Michal, he is talking to Michal. I mean, he's not only talking to Michal, he's talking to everybody. Whoever read the Ramchal, since Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, one of the greatest Machshava thinkers, and really Balei Musar that we've ever had, 100 years ago, 1600s I believe he lived. So he says, that same person who says, I don't care what I'm getting in Olam Haba, as long as I get into the stadium. He actually quotes a Gemara we've looked at, that Kol Echad Nichva Mechupas Chaveiro Ba'olam Emes. I don't know if anyone remembers, but we looked at that Gemara here, that everyone will be burned by the canopy of his friend in the next world. So what does that mean, you'll be burned by the canopy of your friend in the next world? So we explained it differently, we learned a few months ago, but this is what he explains it. He says, that person who in this world says, I just want to fulfill my desires, I don't care about the next world. He's going to get to the next world. In this world, he couldn't handle the jealousy. In this world, he says, Hashem, you're skipping over me. You're giving him a better envelope and him a better pekel and him a better life. In this world, he couldn't handle his jealousy for shtus v'hevel. When he got to the next world, you think you're going to be able to handle that someone has it better for you, and then you can never even change it. Because whatever ma'isim tovim you did here, that's your ticket to the next world. You just want to get into the stadium, but then he's going to be behind home plate. He doesn't say that. And you're going to be in the nosebleed section. And what are you going to spend eternity thinking? I should have done more mitzvahs while I could. It's Elul. It's Elul. I'm going to Yom HaDin. What am I going to say? And then the next rule, you can't change it. You can't buy a better ticket for all the money in the world. It's going to be too late. I think I don't care what my portion is going to be, says the Ramchal. You couldn't handle it in this world. How are you going to handle it in the next world? And the next world, you'll be chasing after desires that can never be satisfied. Even Ruchni's desires can't be satisfied in the next world. So easy here to do a mitzvah. For a few dollars, you can buy a mitzvah. But in the next world, the fires are burning in Gehenna. Remember, Rav Schechter said when I called him for a drach, he said it's a good opportunity to remember that the Schar and Onesh, it exists. Rabbi Militsky brought down his toast. It's an unbelievable idea why we smell Basamim. It happens to be, me and my son went back to yesterday afternoon, the Holocaust survivor. It's terrible that I call him that. Mr. Mickey Goldschmidt, Ameyev Esam Shana. We spent another 2 hours by him. My son has pages from the 4 hours of testimony. And he told us that when he was 16 when he got to the camps, but his good birthday, they arrived on Shavuos, not on Shavuos, Shivasar Betamuz, Shabbos. And he asked somebody, what are the chimneys? He was only 16 years old. He was only with one uncle. His mother was separated, his brother and his grandparents and other uncles' aunts were sent straight to the gas chambers, he understood later. They said, you know, there's a lot of people in the camp, so they're baking a lot of bread. So he accepted that as the answer. Upon separation at selection, Mengele, he told his brother, say you're 16, the brother was 14, and I'm going to say I'm 18, he was 16. And Mengele sent him to life and his brother to death. He didn't know where his brother was going. And he said to Mengele, that's my brother, you should come with me. And Mengele said to him, you'll see him soon. He didn't understand. He said, I was so happy. My brother went with grandfather. I thought, oh, good. He'll take care of him. This is after arriving there. They robbed Shabbos morning. This is after 3 days on the trains. Because the conditions were unfathomable. He said, I don't know how it's possible. I said to my son, I looked at my son. My son is 13. I said, he was there. And he's saying he doesn't know how it's possible that anyone survived. He said, on the trains, people got undressed. Everyone was naked. He said, it was July. There was a little window at the top. They didn't give us water. One pail, 20 loaves of bread for 85 people. 20 loaves of bread for 85 people. They were in the cars for 3 days. So the people stripped because trying to get some air. He said he was there. He said, I don't know how it's possible. And then that night I heard Lahavda of all five of those. These were Kadoshe Elyon. We should never know. We can't fathom their place in Gan Eden. But here of Malitsky talk about this Tosfos. This was very eerie. And the Ramchal says, what do you think? You don't care what your portion is going to be in Olam Haba? Yes, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lem Chelek Olam Haba, Ve'amech Kulam Tzadikim. It's true. But what's your Chelek going to be? And that's, I only have Bechir HaChavshis in this world. Re'ei Anochi Nosein Lefnechem Hayam Bracha Ukala. One way or other, every human being must experience the pain of unfulfilled ratzon. So the question is, where is my unfulfilled ratzon going to be? Is it going to be here? I'm going to have it in the next world. If it's here, I could motivate myself to change. If I'm a drunkard, imagine what you could become. You could go from a drunkard to the President of the United States of America. I don't think that's a goal that we personally are attaining to get to, but it is a lesson. It is a lesson for us. I can have unfulfilled ratzon here that can motivate me in my avodas Hashem and change. It's Elul. I can change. I'm talking to myself. After so many years of struggling, you can change. Or I can say I'm not interested in chasing after my unfulfilled ratzon in this year. Forget it. I just want the oneg of Hevel Havalim. I'll deal with neg in the next world. Really? You're going to deal with neg in the next world? Says Masil Sushram. You who can't handle that the rich man is called in front of you, so you say to Tosha Rebbe, you skipped over me? Can't be. As noted, if one is worthy, bottom of page 188, he will realize that this type of frustration is for his own good. Why? Because what should the frustration spur me to do? If I'm frustrated myself, if I am frustrated enough with myself, I will change. Bush, President Bush, George W. Bush, could not change until he himself realized I needed to change. So if I have this frustration, it's for my good, because I can use it to develop true ratzon. What's true ratzon? The ratzon to be close to Hashem. If he, it's unbelievable, he's very religious. He said, I realized it was taking the place of God. I prayed to the Almighty to help me. You should learn from that. Excuse me. If on the other hand, one is not worthy, his experience of this frustration will be limited to desiring material gratification. Right? So we just said that. He will covet. What? Move your hand.
No,
covet. Okay. It's not covet?
No.
Okay. He will covet silver and gold and luxury accommodations. That's exactly what the pasuk says. Kafsa v'zahav, tzon and bakar, batim tovim, it sounds a lot like America today. And dream of all kinds of desires, but those desires can never be satisfied. What am I dreaming of anyway? But even these desires, you know, we have to pack. We're going Baruch Hashem for Simcha. Everyone should always travel for Simchas. We're going away for Simcha for the weekend. I don't like packing. Okay. Some people do better. Some people it's harder for. I don't like packing. So I texted my mother this afternoon. Anything to not have to pack. So I texted my mother. Procrastination, got it. But I should also always text my mother. So I said, clothing are overrated. I said a person has to look nice. But sometimes we spend too much time focusing on him. And my husband said, we're going for 2 days. What do you need to take? He said, there's Friday night, there's Shabbos, there's Shal Shabbos, there's Motzei Shabbos. He said, it's 2 days. He said, you could just put on a suit and you could change your tie. But the reality is that we have to be careful with how much focus a person should look b'kavadek, please. He has to look b'kavadek. But also, I have to say, understand that material gratification and silver and gold and luxury accommodations and dreaming of all these, I'm never going to satisfy any of those desires anyway, because that's not what the neshama wants. So interesting, Rabbi Militsky said something very interesting. Why do we get a neshama yisera on Shabbos? Good question. Why? So Militsky quoted Rashi. I guess it's Rashi in the Gemara, I don't know where. I was on a fast walk, so he happens to be, Militsky generally, from what I've seen, puts his source sheets and material on while you tour, so you could download them, which is very helpful. But he quoted a Rashi. I don't know where the Rashi is. I'm just telling you, I was on the rock, not looking at the sources. Very interesting. The neshama wants to be busy and wants to be doing, which is true. We like to be busy. We like to be productive. Whatever we're doing, we like to be busy. The neshama wants to work and do. And when you come to Shabbos, I just said the neshama likes to work and do. What happens on Shabbos? Shabbat. Cease. We don't work. We don't do. The neshama is not satisfied. So you get a neshama yesera, an extra neshama, which is content with not doing, with sitting, with eating, with relaxing. I don't know the exact lashon of Rashi. I didn't see it inside, but it's an interesting idea. And it's a reminder that we should try and be productive. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says, people think work is a curse. That's totally incorrect. Man was put into the world, God created him, to be creative, to be productive. The worst curse is to do nothing. It's mamish aklala, to do nothing. We have to be very careful that we're working in the right areas. I have to be bekavodet, but how much osher and kavod do I really need? I shouldn't be dreaming of all kinds of desires which can never be satisfied. But even these desires might not be strong enough. There must be a temporary stage of powerful desire that is not satisfied. Why? Because that dissatisfaction actually leads me to Avodas Hashem. George W. Bush never came to the point where he felt dissatisfied with himself as a drunk, then he would never have been motivated to change. It's the dissatisfaction with my current state that allows me to change. It's geschmack if you come to Elul and you feel that something needs to be changed and I'm dissatisfied. If you come to Elul and you say, God, everything's perfect. So first of all, you're deluding myself. I don't want to say you. I would be deluding myself. Also, I would be deluding, kaviyachos, if it were possible, the Ribbono Shalom. But also, then I'm not going to change. Why am I not going to change? I don't think I have, what? Because you think you're perfect. That's right. There's only one perfection. Hatsur tamim pa'alo. That's it. Not me. Not any human being. the Ribono Shel Olam. If I don't feel this, this satisfaction is a matana. If I don't feel it, I don't change. The intensification, page 189. The intensification of the ratzon, the intensification of your desire, without satisfaction, will therefore strengthen your feeling of lack. It will strengthen your pain. Sometimes we feel pain over our current state. You know, I tell Hashem, you're going to laugh. But this is true. I tell Hashem, I don't know if I believe that this is true. I tell Hashem, Hashem, one thing they're gonna, you're going to be able to say when I get to Oma Emes, Amei Vesem Shani, you're not going to be able to say I was like Korach. I'm asking you for help. I'm asking you for help to help me change. I'm going to tell you, Hashem, it's your fault. I'm asking for help to change. If you feel pain with yourself, if you feel lack, if you intensify your dissatisfaction, George W. Bush said, I would rather drink after putting my kids to bed than go have a conversation with my wife. There's something wrong with me. If one knows that this unfulfilled ratzon is Hashem's will, that will ease things a little. But in general, when one is working on his ratzon, it's hard to appreciate that this is the will of Hashem. It's hard to appreciate that the struggle is ratzon Hashem. It's hard to appreciate when the rich gavir skips over me in line that that is actually God working for my benefit. That pain that I feel, that slightness I feel, I think Hashem skipped over me because I'm a poor man and he would rather be the rich man. That is a tova. The building of this ratzon is the true entry into the world of Avodas Hashem. As long as there's no real ratzon, there is nothing to really... You're making me smile. As long as there's no real ratzon, there's nothing to really put... We're learning so much!
Now it's because I'm looking forward to more positivity where we're talking about love. That's what I was looking for.
Okay.
The next one is fear still. That's why.
The building of this ratzon is the true entry. I'm trying to finish this... we're not going to finish this chapter today. But next week, Bezos Hashem. Bli Neder. If one knows that this unfulfilled ratzon, if I would say, not Bli Neder, we would be here for 3 hours next week. If one knows that this unfulfilled ratzon is Hashem's will, that will ease things a little bit. I read that sentence already. The building of this ratzon, I read that. As long as there is no real ratzon, there is nothing to push a person to serve Hashem. You won't succeed. When the ratzon is accompanied by pleasure, by oneg, it is as if one is already in the eternal world of reward. Referred to by Chazal, you will see your world in your life, from Maseches Brachos. When you will have merit, you will desire each moment to cleave to Hashem. Remember, we learned in the Shema, what does Rav Shem Shem Falhurst says, love is to submit to God. What does Rashi say? Not for ulterior motives, not for anything gashmistic in this world, and not for hope of schar in the next world. Just to love Hashem and to negate my will to His will. When you have merit, you will desire each moment to cleave to Hashem, to learn Torah. The problem people have is their desire to attain closest to the Creator is superficial. That's exactly what Rashi says there. Superficial. I want people to call me rabbi. I want to have a good job. I want to be the rabbi of the most prominent shul. I want to have kavod. I want to have ashirus. That is superficial, closest to the Creator. And Chazal say, don't do that. They have not developed their inner ratzon. They would like inner ratzon, but they feel no fulfillment. It's easier to abandon their desire than to maintain an unfulfilled desire. So I have the biography of Rubelsky. We will just finish with a vignette from this biography. Zecher Tzadik with Vacha. Okay, here we go. The Gemara states, if one trips and falls in a public domain, and then a second person stumbles over him and falls, and the second person is injured, the first person is not liable. Right? You could say, I tripped on you. This is because stumbling is an unavoidable accident, not an act of negligence. However, says the Gemara, this is only if the first person did not have time to pick himself up. If he had time to pick himself up, and he chose not to, then he is liable for damages, because the Gemara says, this is in Bava Kama, Lamed Aleph, Amed Aleph, Shehayalo la'amod velo amad. You could have stood up. Rabelsky would tell Bachum, this law on Hilchus Nezikin, damages, can be used as a lesson for life. What's the lesson? We all have our ups and our downs. I'm quoting from the biography, our good days and our bad days. A person is not held accountable for experiencing a downturn in his effort. That's what I just said before. I tell Hashem, I'm going to tell you it's your fault because I'm asking you to help me. I don't think it's going to work, but my point is that we do have to daven, and I really do try and daven, that Hashem should help me change. A person is not held accountable for experiencing a downturn in his effort. Interesting. He is not held accountable for those times when you feel a lack of enthusiasm in Avodas Hashem. However, it's his responsibility to seek ways to remedy the situation, to regain his spiritual momentum that he has temporarily lost. So it's normal. Chazal understand that you're going to fall. You're going to be in a pit. Stumbling is an accident, not negligence. The question is, if you're able to pick yourself up, do you? He cannot sit back and wait for, quote, magic that will pick him up, that will inspire him to be better. He cannot wait for an instant solution. And he quotes the pasuk we spoke about a few years ago. Tzadik yipol sheva v'kam, rishayim yikashu b'ra. It's from Mishlei. If one does not make the effort to arise, then he is chayev. So if you're in that pit and that person falls and you didn't have time to get up, it's not your fault. But if you're in the pit and there's a secondary fall, let's say you trip over yourself, but you could have gotten up, that's your accountable, says Rebelski Shahaya lo la'amod velo amad. You had the opportunity. You need to look for a way to pull yourself up. And if you don't, then you are accountable. So it's a very big chizuk. I think it's a very big chizuk as we move into Chodesh Elul. And we all have downturns and we all have upturns. And it is positive, it's not negative. It's understanding that the downturns help us change in our Avodas Hashem. It's understanding that that very lack is the impetus for change. Alavai, we should all be so zocha. Shahaya lo la'amod v'lo ama, that we should have the power to get up when we fall. Any questions or comments?